Good morning. I decided not to pursue the ubiquity doctor of ministry. I was having some concerns about ideological differences anyway, but that really I'll tell you the thing that really triggered me saying, maybe I should take another look at this, which was that it required a private interview with the doctor of, with really one of the founders. There's only two people that really run the thing. And that wasn't my biggest issue. I understand that it's off to the side. It's really weird. They say it's accredited, but it's really kind of a weird self-accreditation. With a bunch of tantric health, you know, it's just a bunch of yoga-ish outfits and interesting quasi-paranormal institutes and I'm sorry, you're just getting a bunch of me trying to process my nose blowing and everything else. It's that time of year, I guess, I don't know if I'm sick, but I'm certainly being affected by things. Anyway, and it's not about any of that. I was somewhat thoughtful of that, except that in doing this personal interview, I think it really requires, because I was actually going at it from, I just want to explore different methodologies for doing doing family sovereignty. In doing that, it's been really good because I actually kind of got some ideas about what family sovereignty should ultimately be about. However, it was the whole idea of not probably being compatible with the people that would be my mentors, and I'm doing air quotes around mentors, and the fact that when I do use the word mentors and I put quotes around it, that's problematic for them. They said, no, the interesting dichotomy of, quote, open-mindedness, where people say they're open-minded, but then when you actually get around them, you find out that they're really among the most closed-minded people you've ever known for, you know, we really want people to be a certain way. This program is really for people in a certain way, and since you don't fit that mold, you know, and it was like, I really don't want to go down that road. I am already strange enough but I'm not strange their way. So my whole look at it is, you know, I was wanting to take what I thought they might be able to offer to do that. But at the end, it wasn't really that. I went back and looked at the Doctor of Ministry, and I think I had AI tell me if a Doctor of Ministry is worthwhile outside of ministerial settings. And it came back and it said, no, it's not. You know, and it gave some justifications for why they were saying that. So, at the end of the day, it was, this isn't going, you know, putting forth this effort and paying this money wasn't probably going to give me the kind of, I guess what I was looking for was gravitas, the kind of gravitas I was hoping for. That it really wasn't there. It isn't really an additive thing, except to impress people who are already impressed, who already need to be impressed by you to be a little bit more impressed by you. And it's like, that sounds a little self-serving. I'm sure Lisa would have just come out and told me this months ago if she wasn't trying to be kind or nice. She wasn't trying to be nice. And it often takes me a while to get to these realizations. Anyway, so I don't find the activity of using that as a framework of saying, oh, I need to put this together enough so that I can do my entry essay. Because it really did give me a chance to think about it a little bit more, to see what whatever I was going to be doing, called a ministry, called a crusade, call it just, I don't know, an internet clearinghouse. Because I was often wondering, so I said, once you get this thing and start putting yourself out there, what are you going to do? And, you know, I said, like, well, my thought was to go to conferences. You know, to develop a good cadre of presentations. Go to conferences. Because conferences are typically interested in getting people. Now aligned with what's going on. And like I said, I'm not doing anything that on its face is particularly controversial. Although my ideas about the fact that couples should probably get married younger so that they have a tendency to turn toward their parents rather than their peers for assistance and validation. One of Western society's largest problems is constantly looking side to side instead of looking up toward God, toward your parents, for wisdom. This is where we get this kind of weird kind of group, and it's not wisdom, but it's supposed to be the basic thing of it, the kind of group think. That different ideologues use to get the kind of it's called a wellspring, to get this upswelling of faddishness that tends to make these people behave a certain way. But the funny thing is if you catch a person young and they get wrapped up in this groupthinky faddishness, I said, it really is. It sometimes people never see it as what it was, which was just kind of a money-making fad production. You know, I'm trying to sell a book. I'm trying to sell a conference series, whatever. And they do it forever. You know, the old, it's kind of the old thing about the hippies. It, Haight Ashbury, for instance. There are still people that subscribe to that stuff, even though it really doesn't work. Like, you know, I did a little reading on the farm in, what was it, Summertown? Summerton, Tennessee or Kentucky, I forget which. You know, this group of kind of 60s self-making, and they had gone together and gotten this cheap piece of land. I don't know if it was swamp land or something. Most of them had gotten old school buses and stuff like that, and ultimately converted them into living spaces. Of course, the biggest problem was they really didn't have very many kids, because that was one of the kind of natural things, which is interesting, because Steve Gaskin, who kind of came up with this whole idea and this trek across the country with all these kind of hippies, his wife was a midwife. And so the children born to the farm were, she was part of that. And, the whole thing was, it really didn't, I don't think it generated a lot of kids. Which is why it started dying soon. They were quasi-spiritualists. They had a band that did their, that promoted their thing. I'm trying to remember what it actually was. Probably living in better harmony with the earth. To be honest, I didn't really get into what, because I didn't really get into what they were about, because it was just a little too, how do you say it? Flower childy for me. At the end of the day, I was never one of those. I didn't believe in what they were preaching, but I was interested in it as something of an intentional community, and that kind of faded out. Most of the buses that were converted into living spaces were moved out, got rid of, in favor of permanent structures. It's still kind of a vaguely new agey thing. It was really interesting at the time. They used to go, because they were just, since they were so insular, they had trouble making money that they needed to get by to pay, you know, property taxes, things like that, to make improvements. So they started, and they all kind of got into this, I guess, this universal brother and sisterhood of man. Steve Gaskin was kind of their spiritual guru slash father. And, but he was very much a college professor. And his whole thing was, you know, I say things, I get paid, you know, and that's all I have to do is I say things, I write the occasional book, you know, I do lectures. And he did. He would rent out spaces there in the San Francisco area. And he would, I think he was a UC Berkeley guy, which is very consistent with these people. Anyway. And he would do his own kind of outside lectures, but he still, until they decided to pull up stakes and go and live this different kind of more earth connected spirituality thing, he was still a faculty member and he still got paid. And I think that he was hoping that was going to continue happening, you know. But as time went on, he just learned how to be really frugal, I guess. They would send out work crews, mostly young, these young college students that he had somewhat converted to his ideas. And, they would go out to work crews. They would go work construction, stuff like that. And, they were really got down to kind of living the whole third world thing. It ended up being a little pocket of the third world. Now some of those hippies are still there. I think they've gotten into the habit of either gradually selling whatever shares they had in the farm itself. There's still a little bit of, you know, it almost operates as kind of a weird hippie museum. Because it got some traction in media for people having gone to these lengths to kind of preserve these interesting 60s ethics. Anyway, so I don't know what made me go in that direction. I apologize. I'm sure I can try to make my way back. Anyway, the whole doctor of ministry, which I was hoping would open doors for me. So I think that's what I had AI go as. Does getting a doctor of ministry open doors? And, it ultimately came back and said, not really. It says, you know, I got the distinct impression that all it was there for was for interesting people to get a doctor in front of their name, the DR period in front of their name and some letters after their name. And it's like, you know, I said, I've kind of walked myself away from wanting to be like a college intellectual because it's soured over the years for being just kind of a left wing factory. And I'm not one of those sorts, you know. And let me tell you, this whole Charlie Kirk, he was recently assassinated. And it's really hard to say if it was straightforwardly politically motivated. I have to say that to a large extent, although it's plausible what the suspect of the shooting left behind, it really is kind of it's a little too easy. It's a little too convenient. And I don't know. I'm perfectly willing that it was somewhat staged for its political ramifications. And it might have very well been a staging of trying to destroy the left. Not that I'm some big fan of the left, but I just don't like people being kind of quasi-set up. The left is, okay, the foot soldiers of the left, call them convenient idiots, whatever you want, are really ginned up to be close to murderous. And perhaps this guy was one of these people. It's almost like a sociological setup, like the leadership of the Democratic Party, which really, really feeds these little leftists because it gives them a lot of attention. You can twist them up very easily. Oh, here. How do I? Oh, my phone. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out the lights. And the funny thing is, it's kind of like drinking Kool-Aid. It definitely is pretty much satanic. And lead you down this primrose path, saying, and it's the whole thing about ginning up being a social justice warrior. I'm going to do the right thing, and the right thing needs me to be yelling and screaming and telling other people how they're evil and how wondrous and magnificent people like me are. And it's interesting because people in power might have gotten themselves sucked into this kind of, it's really foggy out here, kind of gotten themselves sucked into to believing that this really was the way to proceed. I think better minds, can I say, okay, let's say Nancy Pelosi, for instance. And you go, she was the first one that would take advantage of leftists, but not sign on to them. She would use them because they helped her continue to win the votes that she needed. Kind of those convenient idiots. Useful idiots, sorry. Let's use the term right. But that she probably wouldn't get into this kind of stuff. You notice that she has said nothing about the Charlie Kirk shooting, even though she was a person that would pander to leftist sensibilities as they profited her power-wise. But she isn't now, probably because she goes, well, wait a minute, this isn't going to, you know, this is going bad for us. The party's going to go down if it gets this tied around its neck, which is, they're trying not to, but it's coming because enough Democrats have cheered Charlie's assassination. Now, I'm not saying Charlie Kirk wasn't a pure and wonderful vessel. You know, everybody says, oh, he's a wonderful guy. And you go, you know what? I said, Charlie Kirk was sticking his neck out there with how he did things, with his rhetoric. He was ginning it up. Everybody who says that he was this marvelous fella, it's like, no, he found an interesting way to make a living. Oh, man, we finally got out of the fog. And I mean, it's like a wall behind me. You can see it. This is the fog that predominantly comes off of the edge of the cap rock when we've got a little bit of humidity, when we've got, you know, cold air coming up to meet warm air type stuff. The whole thing that causes fog in the first place. It just happens to happen often enough at the whole barrier of the rise of the cap rock. Being up at the top of that rise nets you a lot of stuff, and I guess it makes dry land farming a little more viable because it can do this. As soon as I get off this main road, I've got to put some water in the juice, which I primarily buy for the jug it comes in. But I try to find the most helpful. Let me tell you, the cheapest jug costs $4, but it's got a lot of sugar in it. This one cost me nearly $7, made by Ocean Spray, the same bunch, but it's got mostly the cranberry juice. It's got all juices. It doesn't have any added sugar. Not that apple juice, by its nature, is just basically sugar with a little flavoring in it. That's just what apple juice tends to be. Not that it doesn't have other aspects to it, but that's a huge thing of it. Don't feed your kids tons and tons of apples. Don't think apple juice is all that more healthy than just sugar water, straight sugar water. Anyway, so yeah, I'm sorry. I'm getting off on this whole thing, but it's indicative of the fact that people are getting used. I don't know how much this young fella out of Cedar City, Utah, was ideologically manipulated into doing what he did. Apparently he came from a family that was not of that ilk. He was converted to other sorts of things. Apparently, now you have to understand, this is all from media, which can be lied to and choose to manipulate for any one of a number of reasons. His name is Jimmy Kimmel. I really don't know him. I never really watched him particularly. I find late night TV fare to be kind of insipid and silly. I think it went left wing, politically left wing, because always, you know, because actors tend to be left wing. And you want to have actors come on your show. That's what brings in the eyeballs and the ratings. And so these guys were paid to bring on these eyeball fetching celebrities, mostly from Hollywood, and you know, and to basically, I'm sure there was two or three different reasons for doing it, but to gin up these second, third rate comics to really push agendas for the pleasure of the Hollywood people who say, hey, it's not just that people like to go out and watch movies where I play a character. They really love to come out and listen to me. I am a celebrity in my own right. It's the old McLean-Stevenson syndrome. Because they thought, you know, because he was Henry Blake on MASH when it was really popular. And McLean-Stevenson, who played the character of Henry Blake, thought that people loved McLean-Stevenson when they really just loved Henry Blake. But modern times feed on the fact that tabloids and everything else need things to talk about. Heck, news outlets that used to actually only cover heavy news when they had a 24-hour news cycle and they were on 24 hours a day ended up getting into what was called entertainment news, which is nothing. It's just a bunch of fluff following around movie stars with paparazzi, with the equivalent of paparazzi, and touting that as news, and all of a sudden it kind of became the news. Is these people and their drinking problems, their going out and, you know, kind of all of the weird problems that come with fame, and getting your kids to say, boy, I want to be like this person. And once you hear about the kind of drugs that they were doing, it's like, well, this is what popular people do. I'll do it too. And it was getting people hooked on various things because they saw their heroes. It says the sad part is, why is a celebrity considered a hero? All they do is prance in front of a camera all day, which makes kids interesting in that they think that's all they need to do to get popularity and rich and famous is to just kind of pop around. It doesn't help that YouTube actually takes practical nobodies and turns them into popular and quasi-wealthy people, or trying to be wealthy. Anyway, so it's all this whole weird kind of, it can actually be worked, but it can't be worked by as many people as think they can work it. And so it just does nothing. Kind of like I've been looking at my blog, and my blog is actually, after how many years? I started this in 2012. It's probably been more than 12 or 13 years. And I'm starting to get some real readership, some real numbers, even though I'm not fantastically consistent. And first, the ones that did the best were my maintenance stuff, or just noting something that kind of happened that was really only interesting to me, and how those started catching fire. Anyway, which means that I need to get back to writing about the things that I write about, which is mostly things gleaned from my very slow slog through the Book of Mormon. So I'm very interested in doing that. Anyway, so, and that's what comes back the whole thing. The doctor of ministry idea, I'm not going to sit here and say that it was a stupid idea, because I think it's led me to really analyze myself and what I really want to put out there, which is get married, then have children, promulgate your family culture In the past, it just kind of happened. Almost everything that just kind of happened naturally in the past and made society work, that's mostly dead now. So you actually have to go out and make this stuff happen, you know. In the past, you didn't have to worry about telling your kids that they needed to get married. To a large extent, they just would. There's a certain laziness about, well, I don't need to get married, you know, kind of a bum thing, but you would socially pressure bums to do more upright things. And that was getting married. Number one, you had to talk a girl into wanting to marry you. The biggest problem was girls by and, well, the perception of girls by and large was that they were the prize to be had. So an ability to cook, and an ability to keep up a household, an ability to do this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing, were heavily prized. And of course, being beautiful was not a bad thing. I think being intelligent was not highly rated. Guys didn't like the competition. I said, so women would tend to go, I have to be really, really careful. My wife, Lisa, whom I love with all my heart, and I appreciate her for the vast majority of her attributes, which are ennobling to me, trying to make me into a better person. I'm always trying to make sure that Lisa is grateful that she married me. Anyway, guys always kind of had to do something to impress girls, because girls often came, I don't want to say premature, because it makes it sound like they're not mature. They already came matured, because that was their purpose in society. The things that they had to be doing, their mothers were having them do alongside them, and I don't know if they were heavily valued by society, but they were certainly heavily valued by husbands and by children. Maybe not saying so, but certainly when they did something stupid and they got thrown out of the house or something along those lines, they realized how much their wives did. The sad part is that stupid guys would only realize that after they had already screwed it up, and usually after they had been thrown out by one woman. You know, there is a bit of a grapevine about it. Most women would just not have anything to do with you anymore, and you were just kind of this reprobate. And you would go out and do the kind of work that reprobates do. Go out and, you know, be kind of a lumberjack out in some place, work out in the oil fields or in the gold fields. This is what kind of guys that didn't have anything better to do except just to chase money would do. And, you know, and the sullied women that would profit off of them. Anyway, God, I don't want to get into that too far. But yeah, so it just came back, and Lisa, my wonderful Lisa, who is most patient with me, as I sat there and found 1,000 justifications for doing something that really wasn't going to accomplish probably much at all, according to AI, which you know, this is probably a decent use of AI is to try to get kind of a composite view of whether something is going to take or is a good idea or not. They came back and said that doesn't really mean much. It's not very useful. I don't think anybody's going to think well of you for having it. And you go, yeah, this is okay. Don't spend the time or money trying to acquire this credential. You know, although it would have been very useful to do the activities that required it, I could do those myself without spending the money, and I don't need the credential. Therefore, why bother? So, there I am. But I'm still working the whole angle of marriage and family. Marriage, then family. Boy, I need to make that very plain. So then it does still go in well with my bachelor's in home economics, which I'm grateful for, very much into it. Most of the people that I worked with, if they tended towards social justice warrior-ish type stuff, it was very much feminism, and I'm not married to much of a feminist, although Lisa is very much she doesn't like to be taken advantage of. She always wanted to be a wife and a mother. So I guess she's very modern in one way in that she certainly doesn't want to be a doormat. But she's on many occasions she has been treated this way. Hopefully never by me, but by other people. You know, the whole name of service, it gets way too easy to get taken advantage of. Many people have, at least, can I say that there, I don't know if it's a growing number, but there are a certain number of people that will sit back in a lounge chair, smoking cigarettes and drinking tea, and saying, oh, my back hurts. And while you basically try to remedy years, decades maybe, household mismanagement, lifestyle mismanagement, all this stuff. And it's funny because the people who actually end up doing it go back in a couple of months and already the junk pile's already starting again. The fact that they never clean their house, never do anything, never do laundry, never wash dishes, never do any of that stuff. Live off of paper plates and well-meaning thrift stores. That haven't figured out that they need to turn this into a business model. It does not have to be like Tucum Care right now has the old Ministry of Hope, which does a lot of things. And it's like, you know what? It says one of the biggest problems is the Ministry of Hope props up ne'er-do-wells. This isn't good. It isn't good for them, and it doesn't do you any good either, except that God will maybe bless you for just not looking too closely and not getting too involved. So I'm not gonna say bad things particularly about them. But just know that if you're doing doing a land office business in free clothing, people donating clothing, and then other people walking away with the clothing, and said, you're probably encouraging people to never actually do things, and a whole lot of fires are caused by big heaps of rubbish in houses that are kindling, Anyway, so there was a certain amount of the people in home economics, mostly women, the vast majority of them women, and the only two other men in my home and economics program, one of them was what we call today transgender, and the other one was gay. And I don't know if he ultimately died of one of the AIDS diseases, AIDS kinds of diseases. Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, he died really young, and his parents really loved him and set up all kinds of scholarships and gave some money in the name of their gay son to help prop up the home economics program, which in my college eventually devolved down to family and consumer sciences, which eventually devolved down to family resource management, which is a wonderful thing. I'm not saying any of these things are bad at all, but it's what things kind of devolved down into. And ultimately, died down to the culinary arts until one of the teachers of culinary arts died, and then I think it just died of death for people wanting to just be chefs, which is kind of totally off the whole range of home economics. I've told you, I am a home economist. I said it's all about the home and doing a good job with the home and not letting things go to pot. This is the sad part is it ended up being like that. And family building. I'm still a family building guy. I don't know what the whole thing kind of got broken into pieces. Most of it went to education, because they really wanted parents to support schools, and they wanted them just to be basically educational aides to help make teachers' jobs easier. So let's be honest, send things to homework. If your kid can't get it done during the school day because I'm too busy and I got too many kids, to give your kid the personalized education that would help them, they said, I intend for you to take up your home time. Who cares about whether your kid has good nutrition, about whether your kid has a real family life? It says it's all about making up for the fact that I can't really adequately educate your child. And it's like, and don't blame the teachers for it. There's nothing they can do when they have a classroom full of kids at various stages. They have to kind of ride the middle tending toward the lower side of teaching. And if your kid falls off the bottom of that, you're going to have to make up for it, or your kid's just going to fail or be a dummy, or we're just going to pass them along, or whatever. Anyway, so there's what happened there. The whole thing about being much more strident about families and about family sovereignty. Family led by a married couple. And they lead it. They are not some kind of projection of your community. They are not unpaid volunteer teaching aides for your school teacher who keeps getting paid more and more and more and more money. Oh, my gosh. You know, back in the old days when they used to scream about how poorly paid teachers were? Not anymore. Teachers are doing okay. Of course, they go, well, it has, you know, what we do is so valuable. You should pay us. We should make more than a chief executive officer, which is like, okay, I guess, but not really. So if you guys spend, you know, and the problem is it's been inundated by sneaky little teachers who go in there and they're basically about ideology. You know, I'm going to teach these kids about this and about that. We're going to talk a lot about gender roles, things like that. And you're going, oh my gosh, not what school is about at all. It's not about righting the wrongs of society. You know, and you go, well, parents are overrun. You go, oh, you're lying. You just want to be super parent. You want to be, and not even that anymore. You are wanting to be Stephen Gaskin, tickling the ears of students who adore you, and let me tell you, school teachers have more resources usually than a lot of parents do. So they can buy your loyalty and the whole fact that you've got more time with them and you don't have to worry about feeding them or clothing them or doing all the other things that parents have to do. All you need to do is do a little bit of school subjects, and you get to enjoy a lot of very effective and ego-boosting indoctrination. When you can talk about these things, all of a sudden you see these little kids coming in and saying, I decided to change my name to something else, and I decided to wear rainbow clothes because I think it's really important to support gay people, like my teacher, who is gay. And you're going, boy, is that self-serving. But, you know, that's really where this comes from, is these kinds of things. And it is Satan infiltrating wherever he can, and he's found so many wonderful ways. Institutions offer him so many fantastic ways to infiltrate, because everybody wants to look good and do good. Everybody wants to throw money at good, even if it really is good. It doesn't matter, as long as you can twist it into making it look like you're being a good person. Usually in rights, these people have a right. They have rights to do these things. You go, they don't have rights to get money from the government to do it. They don't have a right. Yeah, this is, I'm sorry. This is the transfer of rights into privileges has become absolutely insane. And if there's one thing that Donald Trump does that he really doesn't talk about it. He doesn't preach on this subject. He really is just a guy that calls silly things silly. And the funny thing is that because it's gone so far, silly things have become taken very seriously. Oh my gosh, we need to take care of this, you know. The whole Charlie Cook incident isn't necessarily very good, because all it is using the left tax, the right using the left tactics. Which are perverted, old, right, decent thinking things, like you don't kill other people. There's no justification for it ever except war. Of course, the leftists say, but this is a war. It sure looks like a war. You should see it that way. And it's like, no, propaganda put us to that thing where we say we're having a war. You know, it first started sounding good. War on poverty, war on hunger, stuff like that. Okay. Let's get there. It's not there yet. Anyway, okay, I was just looking at mail from my supervisor. Things are moving. But not needing any action. The first thing, if I start asking people, hey, how do I do this, they'll say, bring it to me. And it's like, well, I haven't got it yet. It says, well, you're getting way ahead of it fast. Anyway, but it's okay. So, yeah. At the end of the day, I'm not going to do the doctor of ministry. It was an interesting idea. I don't think that Ubiquity University was really too interested in being used that way. And I don't know if they're, you know, I don't know if it's just kind of a, just a step above a diploma mill. Some people say my master's degree was a step above diploma mill. I treated it that way and it worked pretty good. It still got me what I needed. But they might have just come back and said, you know what, we don't really need your money, and we don't have anything to offer you. This is, we're definitely left-leaning social justice warrior types, and that's what this degree is for those kind of people. And you go, I'm not really that kind. Anyway, and the whole idea in the first place is lost to it not being really all that worthwhile. And it comes back to almost kind of the perceived bankruptcy of higher education to begin with. So it's like, well, I'm not really very interested. I'm not very, you know, and it's like, well, I don't want to have to get a job. And, you know, I'm not going to get a job. Anyway, I was hoping this would open some doors. And it's like, God, forget it. Just continue as you have. Continue writing. Continue putting stuff out there. You might want to get some of, you know, you might want to get some more gaming things together. The really interesting idea is to come up with kind of a little bit of a lesson plan, curriculum, module, is what they kind of call it now, for these kinds of things. Ooh, is that a coyote? That's a coyote, man. Did he kill a cow and he's on the run? I see a cow lying down. I don't know if that means anything. Anyway, so doesn't matter. We're going to continue pushing forward with the ultimate effort. I don't know if it will ultimately become kind of a John Taylor Gatto sort of invite somebody to speak at your conference. I don't know if conferences are starting to die in favor of online stuff, which is fine. But That's kind of all I got going. Gonna start working on needed updates for the equipment. It's a good time to get to it. That's all I got. Talk later.